It's Tuesday, the 12th of May, day 52. Like many people at the moment, I'm spending too much time on Zoom. I've even set up a Zoom station in my study, so that when a meeting is due, I just go to that part of the room, log into the Mac that sits there with Zoom running, and start. No fiddling with laptops or microphones for me. Straight down to business. I'm lucky enough to have a very large study. The guy from whom we bought the house many years ago was an architect, and he ran a successful practice from this room. So it's big and airy. And it's lined with books for the very simple reason that I have a book habit. So my background for the purposes of Zoom is a wall of books. This often gives rise to comment in the small talk that goes on while people are waiting for others to join the call. Have I read all those books? I'm asked. I'm about to respond indignantly, and then I think of Flann O'Brien, one of the funniest Irish writers of the 20th century. His actual name was Brian O'Nolan, but he wrote under a pen name because in real life he was a fairly senior civil servant in the government of the Irish Free State, as the Republic was then known. He had a regular column in the Irish Times, a black Protestant newspaper, as my devoutly Catholic mother used to call it, and the column was so surreal that it made Salvador Dali look like Spinoza. Flann used the column for many purposes, but one of them was to publish prospectuses for the numerous wacky businesses he had invented. And one of these businesses involved books. It all started with a visit he made to the new house of a friend whom he described as someone of great wealth and vulgarity. After kitting out the house, his friend decided that it needed books, because, as is well known, books really do furnish a room. Whether he can read or not, wrote Flann, I do not know. But some savage faculty for observation told him that most respectable and estimable people usually had a lot of books in their houses. So he bought several bookcases and paid some rascally middleman to stuff them with all manner of new books, some of them very costly volumes, on the subject of French landscape painting. I noticed, Flann continued, that not one of them had ever been opened or touched, and remarked on the fact. Oh, when I get settled down properly, said his friend, I'll have to catch up on my reading. At this point, O'Brien had an epiphany. Why should a wealthy person like this be put to the trouble of pretending to read at all? Why not a professional book handler to go through and maul his library for so much per shelf? Such a person, if properly qualified, could make a fortune. And thus was born the concept of a book handling service. Flann envisaged four levels of handling. The lowest, which he called popular handling, involved each volume to be well and truly handled, four leaves in each to be dog-eared, and a tram ticket, cloakroom docket, or other comparable item inserted in each as a forgotten bookmark. Say £1.07 and 6p, 5% discount for civil servants. Next up was premier handling. Each volume to be thoroughly handled, eight leaves in each to be dog-eared, a suitable passage in not less than 25 volumes to be underlined in red pencil, and a leaflet in French on the works of Victor Hugo to be inserted as a forgotten bookmark in each. Say, £2.17 and 6p, 5% discount for literary university students, civil servants, and lady social workers. Two even more sophisticated levels of service were envisaged. There was deluxe, which included five volumes to be inscribed with the forged signatures of their authors. And then there was the handling superbe service. You can imagine what that involved. So perhaps you can see why I think of Flann O'Brien whenever I look at my background during an online meeting. Those books are really well handled. And Flann would have known that books really do furnish a Zoom.